kids camp that's coming up. There's, I understand, 6 leaders. I don't know if they're all here, but how many of you young people are helping Pastor Crystal in that? Okay, here you are. I want you guys to stand up. I want you to stand up, and I want you to turn around so people can see your lovely faces. And am I missing anybody else? I think there's 6 of you, right? Maybe some of them are involved downstairs today or away. Yeah, let's give them a hand of encouragement. Awesome. Way to go, kids. You're being used this week by God to influence children that are younger than you, and they're looking up to you. And we're going to pray this week. So I'm going to ask you, church family, to put this team and Pastor Crystal as they join with Evangel Church and go about 20 kilometers east to a camp and have a great time together so you guys can sit down. Let me pray right now. Just keep giving, keep worshiping as you give. Lord, we pray your blessing on these kids, these young people that are ministering and showing your love to children. May they have a powerful week. May children who don't yet know Jesus come to know him this week. And thank you for your protection on these kids and leaders. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I saw Agnes walk in. Where, Agnes? I don't want to put you on the spot, but sorry, could you stand? Welcome to back to what was formerly your church family, and your children have joined you. So good. We won't make them stand, Agnes. I think that's good. Welcome, Agnes, to church today. So good to see you. We'll talk later. Church life, it's awesome. Most of the time. Hey, we're a family. Right? Every family has challenges, and yeah, you know that if you've been around church for any length of time. Just before we dive into the last message this morning of our James study, I want to read an announcement just to keep on track and to make it precise. I want to take a few minutes to give you a brief update of our vision review meeting last Sunday. I've mentioned to you before that in the last couple of years of prayer and discussion, our ECC council was considering the ways to steward the growth that we believe God will continue to bring as we endeavor to reach people for Christ through the ministry and outreach of this church as a whole and individually in our lives. And I mentioned to you that we didn't want to add on to this physical structure just because building additions are the normal thing to do. And so we pondered and prayed and discussed that at length. As a council lead team, we came to the place, though, of genuinely sensing God's direction in this. And so we brought it forward to the core team membership of this body, bearing in mind that the vision is not the building. The vision is not a building, it's people. And you might get tired of me saying that, but we need to keep that in mind. And reaching people who don't yet know Jesus Christ. Last Sunday at our annual meeting, we had 81% quorum. Some of you heard me say 79, that was some came late, 81%. And we had good and helpful interaction last Sunday in our meeting. There were honest and probing questions, which were appreciated. And I got to say this, way to go, core team members. The way you asked your good questions made for positive and healthy discussion, which is what families need to be able to do. What followed was an 86.5% vote in favor of moving forward toward building expansion on this property to the east right here through initiating fundraising, and I don't like that term. It's giving to God. It really is. Each of us as ECCers stepping up and everyone doing their part toward this endeavor, as well as that vote moving forward in developing drawings after an agreed-upon concept is realized. I want to introduce to you this morning the point leader for the future building expansion lead team, Acrostics Belt. If you hear us here say that word, building expansion lead team. Trent Lipinski, would you please stand for just a moment? People can get to see you if they don't know you already, and I know you're open to dialogue about this. This is something you've expressed that God has led you to in response to the council, prayerfully considering who would be in your role. So you can be seated. Just so you're aware, folks, Trent works for Lockerbie and Hole Contracting, having project management credentials. He's been a part of the project management team there for over 5 years. He's worked on $25 million to $90 million projects. He has specialized training in project scheduling, project task management, project cost control management. And in addition to these excellent skills, he has a heart for God. And I know Trent personally. I've traveled to Tanzania on a missions trip with him years ago. He has a heart for reaching people for Christ. And that's, again, what this is all about. Needless to say, our council lead team is thrilled that Trent has agreed to serve God by offering his time, his heart, his expertise to ECC's expansion project. The thorough process I referred to a moment ago is something that Trent has already stressed to us as extremely important. In his lead role, Trent wants the building expansion lead team to hear from key stakeholders, if you will, through focus groups and brainstorming sessions. Through that process, a concept will be formulated that will, as Trent has put it already, will meet our vision, requirements, and budget for the expansion. He has indicated that this will begin probably in the fall of this year and carry into 2015. Folks, we need and want God's wisdom and direction every step of the way. So keep all of this in prayer. Please begin to pray for Trent in his leadership role and for the belt the lead team that is formulated over the next few months. Please pray as well about how you will participate financially on a monthly basis over and above your regular tithe to the ministry operations of the church and your missions giving. The plan and the hope is not to throttle back on either of these areas. I've been a part of a church where the missions giving increased during the period of a significant building expansion, and that is just a testimony to God's ability and people's faithfulness as we trust God. So keep all of this in prayer over the next little while, prayerfully considering what God would want you to do in this regard. And of course, moving forward, we'll have regular updates, and Trent will be up here sharing a little bit just to journey together in this process. So thank you for your prayer in this regard. Next baptism, by the way, is June the 8th. There may be some of you. You've committed your life to Christ. You want him to be the leader of your life. And you haven't taken that step. June 8th. We'll wait for 30 seconds while you put that in your smartphone. June 8th. Last message today in our same page focused journey through the book of James, a little letter near the end of the New Testament, prayer and care community. Now, the focus of this message today is to remind Christ followers how fortunate we are to belong to a local church family. Now, no church body is perfect. We know that. But I think there are times when we need to be reminded that being connected to Christ because we've received his gift of salvation automatically means that we are connected to his body. Globally, but scripturally, New Testament is in connection with a local church. That comes with it. It's God's design. Jesus is the head of his body. And most of the references in the New Testament are references about the church, are references to the body, the worldwide body of Christ, being locally expressed. It's Jesus' pattern. And I really pray that from God's word, the Holy Spirit will help us capture and be excited about the possibilities of truly engaging with church family. This topic, prayer and care community, again, the local church is what we're talking about, comes out of what we see in the last few verses of this letter from James. And doing so helps us grow in and love or live the Christian life, being connected to the body. I'm going to ask Justin Keene to come to the stage right now. He is going to lead us. He's going to read in prayer. Yeah, Justin, thanks for doing this, buddy. Appreciate it. I want you to listen, and I believe the verses, verse by verse, will be on the screen, but you can just listen as Justin reads the text from Scripture before us today.
Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of your church to come and pray over you, anointing you with the oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. James 5:13-20.
Thank you so much for your excellent reading, Justin. Appreciate you doing that this morning. Discussions from these verses, there's so much here. And many of you in your small group will have opportunity to touch on maybe some of the other areas. Discussions from these verses, like, if you're happy, sing. Won't have time to unpack that this morning. What about if you're not happy? All of those questions. We're not going there. Or discussion about suffering from this passage. We won't go there either in this message, because the focus this morning are the elements of a prayer and care community, although, of course, there's tie-in there that we could make. Or the discussion of healing and the powerful outcomes of prayer that are referenced in this passage. I mean, we could spend a good amount of time talking about what is the prayer of faith that heals the sick. And look holistically at Scripture and tie in 1 John 5 that talks about this. If we pray according to the will of God, we have confidence He hears us, and if He hears us, He answers, and all how that works all together. I mean, it's challenging stuff. We're not going to talk about that today. That is actually a good healing message on our church website back on June 16th, I believe it is, 2013, where my dad preached on healing on that Sunday. I'd recommend that if you're journeying through a season of needing God's touch physically in your body, that you take some time in the next little while to listen to that message. So lots to talk about here, but this morning we're simply going to address the blessings and benefits, if you will, of being a part of a community of genuine Christ followers. In his book, Quarter Life, Jeremy Stevens said this: what would happen to the health of your church if Sunday was less about being the main expression of church and more about people celebrating a week of living life with each other in community? I like that. For some of you, you may think this is it. This is church. If you're engaged in ministry, and especially, if you're in a small group, and this is kind of the tip of the iceberg. The real body life interaction happens outside this context, or at least it should. And some of you are missing out on that. And so maybe you want to open your heart to the Holy Spirit's leading for steps that you can take in this regard. And certainly, again, what happens here in a gathering like this, and before, and during coffee time, during prayer time, and after, the connecting, and that's huge. Great. Necessary. Hebrews 10:24-25 that I read at the beginning. Very important. Don't give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Yeah, the gathering is crucial. But there's so much more of body life and interaction that is out there. And again, it's why you won't hear us stop talking about, I don't know if that sentence makes sense, but we won't stop talking about small groups, about connecting in that way. I'm going to ask Monique and Tom and Michelle to come at this time. And they have agreed to just share a little bit about their journey in the James Same Page Focus that we've had in their small group. So actually, I think order of slides. Michelle, you get to go first. Is that okay? Yeah, as if you're going to say no. Thanks for sharing. And maybe just mention for those that don't know which small group your leaders, who's your group leaders.
So first of all, I'm going to say I'm a total weeper, so I'll try to get this out without too
Me
many
too.
Tears. We're in Trisha and Jason Copen's group. So initially, Mark and I actually had no intention of joining a small group. We've been going to church for a number of years, and we've always appreciated time spent in small group. We've developed some amazing relationships, and through that, we've been encouraged to be baptized. One of the first small groups is the first time I've ever prayed out loud. Mm. For the last few years, we've just not participated in a group because we just feel like we've been in this really busy season of life. Small kids, working full time. We've just been making excuses up, really, just saying that small group's just another commitment on an already stacked list of things to do throughout the week. Thankfully, God and Pastor Joel had another plan for us. The final Sunday for small group sign up, we were hanging out at the back of the church, and Pastor Joel had asked if any of the times looked like they would work for us. And I kind of looked through really quick and said, I don't think so. We've got commitments on this night and this night and this night. And the Copans happened to be standing there, and they graciously agreed to change their plans for small group. And all of a sudden, I was out of excuses. So there we were. What I've appreciated most about being in a small group is just each person's ability to be really vulnerable. As we've discussed James, James has really forces us to look at those busy areas of our life and recognize where we may be leaving God out. Our group has been really encouraging through both our discussions and praying for one another. I've been really reminded of God's timing, and I've left group each time just feeling really excited about the plans for our family. Mark and I have always been really excited to hear how God has been working through other people's lives, and we leave feeling genuinely supported and encouraged. On a less serious note, we've also enjoyed some really yummy treats. I've developed a new obsession for chocolate-covered popcorn. And we felt really welcomed into each other's homes. You sit on somebody's couch and you pray together, and it makes church feel more like a family than just a gathering place.
Thanks so much, Michelle. Appreciate you sharing that window into your small group experience.
Good morning. We're in Dale and Rosalind Heffern's small group. And so far, every time we've joined small groups, our experience has been and is great. I remember the first time we came to Eaglemont, and we knew a few people, but not too many, and didn't know them that well. When we had the opportunity to join a small group, when it arose, we jumped to the challenge, and we joined. Our first time experience was awesome, getting to know the individuals in our group, and being able to know them and call them our friends instead of acquaintances was and is nice. Each and every time we join a small group, we get to know different people on a more personal level. Our journey in our small group this time has helped me to grow in my spiritual journey more. Going through the James series and seeing how each person in our group will look at a verse differently or take something out of it was neat to see. We were all on the same lines, but each of us put a different personal spin on it. It helped us to open our eyes and our hearts to different aspects of the verses, which usually created some great conversations. We love how the Sunday sermons were linked to our Sunday study because we got to think about the sermon all week instead of just hearing on Sunday and not taking it truly throughout the week. For myself, I love small groups, and those who know me know that I love to talk. And when I'm in a small group, I get the opportunity to talk, but it also helps me to close my mouth, which I'm sure Tom is usually happy at this time. Just kidding. Sure, but we get to spend more time in God's Word. With the support of others by our side, we listen, learn, and experience God's words together. We're able to share our prayers and praises, and we know that we are there for each other, and it makes our time special. You can see God's hand working in one another's lives. Again, this was an amazing group, and we're so thankful to everyone who was in our group. In week one, we talked about how God answers prayer. We had a great discussion on that. The other day, I was forwarded an email, and at first, I was going to throw it in the trash because most of the time, it is junk mail. For some reason, I read the email, and to my surprise, it was the topic of prayer and why we think that God doesn't answer all the time in the way we think he should, or why we think he doesn't answer prayer at all. This is what it said. It's a conversation between man and God. God, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Promise you won't get mad?
I promise.
Why do you let so much stuff happen to me today?
What do you mean?
Well, I woke up late.
Yes.
It took my car to start forever.
Okay.
At lunch, they made my sandwich wrong and I had to wait. Mm-hmm. And on the way home, my phone went dead and I just had to wait.
All right.
At the top of it all, when I got home, I just wanted to soak my feet in my new foot massager and relax, but it wouldn't work. Nothing went right today. Why did you do that?
Let me see. The death angel was at your bed this morning, and I had to send one of my angels to battle him for your life. I let you sleep through that.
Oh?
I didn't let your car start because there was a drunk driver on your route, and that would have hit you if you were on the road. The first person who normally makes your sandwich today was sick, and I didn't want you to catch what they have. I knew you couldn't afford to miss work.
Okay.
Your phone went dead because the person that was calling was going to give false witness about what you said on that call. I didn't even let you talk to them, so you'd be covered.
I see, God.
Oh, and that foot massager, it had a shortage in it that was going to throw out all the power in your house tonight. I didn't think you wanted to be in the dark.
I'm sorry, God.
Don't be sorry. Just learn to trust me in all things, the good and the bad. And don't doubt that my plan for your day is always better than your plan.
I won't, God. And just let me tell you, God, that I am so thankful for everything today. God is always with us, and he always listens to our prayers. We may not understand why sometimes we may not understand why, but sometimes we need to remember to always trust him. In Scripture it says, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So I truly encourage you to join a small group if you guys get the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me just really reiterate that, folks, for coming up here and sharing. You've heard me say, if you've been around here for any length of time, we value that, don't we? People that are willing to just get up here and talk about the rubber hits the road kind of experiences. So, you know, I just kind of came to me, and again, it's not wanting to put people on the spot, but small group leaders, I don't know how many of you are here, but as you guys were sharing, in my mind, I'm just going, we're so blessed as a church to have people that step up and lead through, especially same page focus weeks and at other times of the year as well. You're in such a key role of ministry and building the body. And so I just want ECC family, sorry if you're a guest here this morning, this is kind of an in-house family moment, but that's okay. This is good to observe and experience yourself from your perspective, maybe. Small group leaders, would you stand? Every small group leader, please. And I just want to express thank you and God's blessing for what you've deposited in the lives of people that you have been leading. God bless you. There's a commitment there, isn't there? There's a weight, maybe. Yeah, we all carry that differently, but ECC family, could we just in honor applaud the efforts? Amen. Thank you for your leadership. You may be seated. And folks, that applause does not take away the heavenly reward. I've heard some people say that sometimes. Oh, don't. No. God, I'm not going to. Yeah, it's another sermon. Thank you for sharing. In this James passage, we get a snapshot of the rich experiences of belonging to a loving and caring body. And I'm not saying that ECC has it all together. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's God's hope for ECC. And I'm saying that those characteristics of praying for one another and caring for one another are evident. I see it. I observe it. I hear things. You share. Sometimes the giver shares. And that's tough because no one wants to, toot their own horn. But I love to hear how you as individuals have chosen to be used by God to be a conduit of his love and grace to somebody in the body. Tell me when you do. I love it. I want to rejoice with you. God's used you. Fantastic. And many times I hear it from the receiver end of it. That's a blessing. That's huge. That's kingdom bodybuilding. I want to talk about bodybuilding program to get on. That's one that's eternal. And please understand something else this morning. When I refer to this church, I'm not referring to the leadership. I'm not merely referring to, I'm not referring to church-sanctioned programs. Those are part and parcel of who we are, obviously. But I'm referring to what is more accurately the church from a New Testament perspective, you, as a Christian. And I'm one of those too, by the way. Together, we are the body. We are the church. To be biblical in our understanding, we must get to this simple phrase, and you've heard it. I think I used it in the Vision Review booklet, but important shift in perspective here. We don't go to church. We'll use that phrase. Yeah, we know what we mean. But really, we don't go to church. We are the church. Christ's representatives in the world. His body functioning as Christ wants us to. We are the church. A prayer and care church experience goes so far beyond what happens here on a Sunday morning, as we said already. We all want it to happen here, of course, those positive things, and they do. But it's so much more when the church lives like Christ's body out there. Stuff like when a guy in a Monday night men's group commits to walk with another guy who's been devastated by his own failure again. It's powerful stuff. Or an ECC lady who chooses not to work outside the home so she can allow God to lead her to serve and love and care for people in deep need. Huge, eternal stuff. Or someone who puts their life on hold to travel out of town and support a fellow ECC or facing medical challenge. Or a young mom who allows the compassion of Christ to flow flow through her toward newcomers to Canada. And excites others in this church family to experience the joy of helping provide practical needs in Jesus' name. It's cool. Or a couple men carve out time each week to walk with those who are newer to faith in Christ, and they have so that these people that are either seeking Christ or new in Christ have a safe place to have their questions answered. Eternal stuff here. It's body life. That's prayer and care community. What a privilege to be a part of a body like that. Or numerous small group leaders we've just recognized, who open their home and their hearts to people to journey in growing closer to Christ and spurring one another on, providing that opportunity to really spur one another on toward trusting God in all of life's circumstances. When I hear somebody say, "I prayed out loud for the first time," that's cool. And she was here she survived to tell about it. You know, it's just neat. And that's a big step for many folks, understandably. Because you can't get away from seeing in the New Testament the value of prayer together as a body. And yes, it happens here in a variety of ways in this gathering, but wow, I hope, ECC family, that it happens as you interact with one another. And I'm challenged on this myself. You know, you have someone over for coffee and dessert, and you hang out, and you have a good time, and you talk life and challenges, and you talk about the Lord. Hopefully, it's all kind of all weaved in there. But before you go, why don't we pray together? Let me pray for your week. God would just, out for coffee, Starbucks, Tim Hortons. You opened up and you share a little bit of that challenge with your daughter. Yeah, let me pray real quick here. Let me just pray for you. Spontaneous prayer in the body. Oh, I hope we grow. I hope we grow in that. From this James passage, I want to briefly touch on prayer support, accountability, and what I've termed spiritual care. Prayer support. We just got into it before we got to the point here, but The purpose of this particular message under this prayer point we will look at comes out of just the brief phrase and a later reference in verse 16 as well. But at verse 14, are you sick? You should call for the elders of the church. Now, this is a shift from what I was just talking about. It's both and. Sick? Doesn't mean you can't call a friend to pray. Hopefully you can. Call your small group or whatever. But it specifically here says call on the elders. Now, first of all, some of you might say, well, what's an elder? As we read the New Testament. Now, this application of this role differs from church to church. Vine's, to get real technical on you, Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Greek Words describes elder as those in Christian churches who are raised up by the Holy Spirit and appointed to the spiritual care and exercise oversight in local churches. So in my view, though our roles are different, I do view our pastor's council, the ECC lead team, governance lead team, certainly a part of their role is this. And certainly as pastors, that's our role. And there's others who function in this role, and maybe you don't even have a specific, you know, title, and you just do it. Now, again, the functioning of that is a little different because you may function in a pastoral care kind of role. It's just your heart. You love to meet the needs of people, but don't necessarily have a specific role of leadership. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag, but that's the New Testament dictionary definition. Elders are told by Peter. Here's some biblical examples, and you can look at these later, but elders are told by Peter to shepherd, or literally pastor, the flock of God in 1 Peter 5. In Acts 14:23, it refers to the appointment of elders in every church. And Paul reiterates this in Titus 1:5. Appoint elders in every city, as I commanded you. So it appears that in the New Testament, the appointing of these elders was a priority. Over in Acts 20:28, those whom the Holy Spirit has made overseers were instructed to do what? To shepherd. They were instructed to shepherd the church of God, pastorally and lovingly lead Christians in the local church. And so back to the one phrase from James that we're dealing with. It makes clear, where does the responsibility lie for praying for the sick? On the person who's sick to call. Now, when we hear, we want to pray, we sometimes engage that, but biblically, the responsibility is on the person who is sick. You make the call. You call on the church leaders to pray. Blessing of being a part of a body that prays for you. Wow, again, that's significant. The encouragement and support that prayer in itself is. No matter what the immediate or longer term or visible outcome is or isn't, that the prayer support just is meaningful. The people are standing with you. So cool. And verse 14, we see prayer from church leadership. Over in verse 16 is a reference to each of you praying for and with one another. On that point, I want to ask you to think about, in what context does that happen for you? Now, if you're in a small group and you're developing relationships and trust with one another, that's probably, hopefully, a part of it. And again, I hope and pray, as lead pastor, I just really envision our small groups being powerful prayer units, both for the people in the group and for us together as a body and our impact in this community and beyond for Christ. So if you're in a small group, that prayer is probably, hopefully, happening. If you're not, what does that look like for you? In what context does that part of verse 16 here, prayer for one another, happen for you? Think about that. Pray about that. Take some steps. Talk to me. Just a question to ponder, because it's a biblical imperative, and it's important that you give and receive that prayer support in a body. Accountability is another blessing of being a part of local body of believers. It's not something that everyone would immediately identify as a benefit or blessing, but it truly is. Accountability. Living the Christian life was never intended to be a lone ranger deal, was it? It wasn't, biblically. Chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Again, we're going to focus on the confess and pray aspects for each other from this verse, except to say that the original word for healed can refer to spiritual or physical or a spiritual healing. Kurt Richardson in the New American Commentary says, the confession of sin entails humble honesty about the fact of having committed sin, not a public retelling of the details of the act. Confession can be scary, can't it? What do we mean? Based on our church background, we have ideas, we have connotations of confession. Some that I believe are not biblically based. The confession is not a reference to a pattern of public confession. We also see from the context that it's not a mandate that sins are only forgiven by confession to a church leader. It's not a biblical something we see in the New Testament. No, it's things like finding a trusted friend. Or, again, a small group of Christ followers that you trust, with whom you can share your areas of struggle, so that sin doesn't have the opportunity to grow in the dark, because it will. It's being in relationship with loving Christ followers who will regularly check in with you and see how you're doing. How are you and God getting along these days? Talk to you about aspects of what the walk of obedience to Christ looks like, how it's going for you. And as you open up, there's that accountability opportunity that can be there, body member to body member. It's cool. Being accountable to fellow Christians also involves allowing them to pray for you and you for them, as we've talked about from verse 16. Proverbs 27:17 says something along these lines. It puts it as iron sharpens iron, so a man, woman, sharpens the countenance of his or her friend. We all need people who have the credibility to do precisely that. That's one of the benefits of being a part of a local church. So we're in a context where those types of relationships can be developed with people who will sharpen us spiritually. It's awesome. Give yourself to that. Yeah, it's scary sometimes. Of course it is. I felt that myself. It's well worth it. No follower of Christ is above or immune to failure. Therefore, each of us, for our own spiritual well-being, must humbly admit that we need to make ourselves accountable within the body somehow. And so when there's failure, when we get off track, we've already submitted to others who care about us. And at that point, they can love us enough to do what James 5:19 and 20 says, which leads us to our third point this morning of spiritual care. Justin read it so well already. If someone among you wanders away, someone among you, speaking to the body, right? Someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back. You can be sure that whoever brings that sinner back, who will save that person from death. And we're all sinners. Christians just have experienced the forgiveness and grace of Jesus applied to their life and to their sin. These verses describe someone who has made an error in doctrine or in Christian living. It's a reference to someone who is a Christian, someone, because again, it says someone among you wanders away. It's very possible. It's possible. We see it. We've all done it to some degree after accepting Christ, where we kind of wander. Our heart grows slowly cold, and we were talking about that way back in January in our message about Jesus-centered. Very possible to wander and thus eventually, but potentially, lose our way completely. And that's what James is reminding. It's your role, Christians. It's not the pastor's role to chase them down. Oh, pastors will do that, not chase them down. Let me clarify. But lovingly, yes, of course, there's that. But do we see it all? Do we know it all? No. That's why if every person who is a Christ follower and a part of a local church, you know, functions this way, the care and the strength and the forward movement towards Christ and his call on our life as a church. What significant stuff. So I ask again, a question for reflection. How does this activity look in your life, Christian friend, ECCer? I'm just asking. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. It's going to look different from person to person based on your giftings and personality and all that. But what does this look like for you? Significant statement James makes in verse 20. Whoever brings the sinner back will save that person from death. Well, you remember, if you were here earlier in this James series, James wrote about the spiritual reality of the effect of sin in James 1:15. After desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death, which is, very simply, separation between me and God. Eternal separation. That's death. That's death. The Apostle Paul gives a similar warning, or instruction rather, to Christians in Galatians 6:1, where he said, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, a woman overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That's a good verse on this topic of discussion. Excellent. Way to go, Paul. Under the direction of the Holy Spirit, he wrote that for you and I to apply and live out today in this prayer and care community. Galatians 6:1 ties in so well with these last two verses, the book of James. They go, as a matter of fact, in your Bible, in the margin, James 5:19, 20, write Galatians 6:1. Over in Galatians 6:1, in the margin, write James 5:20. Just good. Then in the future, hey, there it is. Do that with your Bible. Mark it up. But the Apostle Paul in Galatians 6:1 says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Well, what's this word spiritual? That means a lot of things these days. And much of it, again, is not a biblically based definition of what it means to be spiritual. What comes to your mind? Does it mean perfect? Some people, they kind of think that. No, doesn't mean perfect. Doesn't mean you have it all together. Because if we waited till we had it all together, nobody would ever be able to do what Paul and James are recommending, and more than recommending, telling us to do. Right? It's not perfect. Superior? Some people think that they're superior and they think that they're more spiritual. That actually, pride goes before a fall. So no, not a chance. It's not what it means. There are, again, numerous ideas of what being spiritual means. Many of those definitions, again, that aren't even close to how the Bible defines the word. A spiritual person, very simply, refers to someone who loves Jesus deeply and is surrendered to him. Someone who has surrendered their life to Jesus Christ and is growing daily in what it means to grow in character likeness to Christ and to trust in the power and strength of the Holy Spirit in order to live their life to honor Christ and consistently show God's love and grace to others. I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about here. Spiritual, those who are spiritual. Those Christians are to be the ones to restore those who wander, to help them back on the right path in a spirit of judgmentalism. No, of course not. Spirit of gentleness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That's so good to keep in mind. None of us are above wandering. We need one another to keep on track. Hebrews 3:12 and 14, for time's sake, I won't read that passage. You can look at that yourself. I love what John Piper says. He reminds us that the point of this theology of spiritual care is that God has designed the church, you and I, are the instruments, he says, by which God preserves the faith of his children. That struck me this week. I heard that on a message I was listening to at his website, desiringgod.com, an excellent website you might want to check out with some blogs and stuff on there too. But there was a message where he said this, and I typed it out. The point of this theology of spiritual care is that God has designed the church, you and I, are the instruments by which God preserves the faith of his children. There's a lot in the New Testament about persevere to the end. We somehow think, wow, we got to grit our teeth. A huge part of us being able to just be faithful to the end in this Christian life has to do, he's saying, and the Bible says, has to do with how the body functions, how the body works, how the body loves, how the body encourages. Elsewhere in the New Testament, spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let that show however that works for you. Handwritten card, phone call, email, a word of encouragement over coffee, or it can look all kinds of ways. Maybe it's a practical deed. It's huge. My friend, you need a way to be intimately connected to the local church so that when you are out of line, getting back to the you who are spiritual, restore such a one, or James, the way he's worded it there. But what you need, I know, when we all need to be intimately connected to the local church so that when we are out of line in attitude or activity, you can be gently, lovingly corrected. And at this point, you just say, man, it was good to come to church today. When it's done in a loving way, Christ-like way, caring way. Is there a risk of being misunderstood? Of course. But let's ponder. Let's really ponder these two verses in James and tying in Galatians 6:1. Let's really ponder. What does that look like for us? This, as in my preparation for this message, I believe the Holy Spirit just settled this in my heart more than I've ever pondered it. Wow. The body functioned this way. What? Finish that sentence. A lot of good stuff. A lot of health. A lot of fortification spiritually as a body. A lot of deepening of relationships in the body. And it all comes back, even in Jesus' prayer, John 17. All comes back to people that don't yet know Christ. As they observe these Christians interacting the way they interact with one another. Man, I'm missing out. They'll start to say. I believe it. Talk about evangelism. Talk about reaching people for Christ. Here. God help us. God help us. I'm going to leave that last couple of slides. I want us to pray. I want us to take a couple of minutes for those that call ECC your home church. How are we going to walk this out moving forward? In what aspects of this does the Holy Spirit remind us this morning that we need to grow in? If this is not your home church, how does this look in your local church? And if you don't have a home church, and even this whole thing of personal relationship with Christ that we heard testimonies of this morning, that it's all new to you, I would love for you all. Oh, heaven would love for you. As a matter of fact, the New Testament says if you make a commitment to Christ, the angels throw a little party. It's Marlowe's paraphrase, but heaven's excited. If you go away from here with questions about what does this mean to be a Christ follower, I would love for you to come at the end of our gathering and just grab one of these booklets at the front. Might be some things that are helpful for you. And if you have questions, ask somebody you came with, or call me or email me at the church. Information is on the bulletin you received today. I mean, this is life and eternity here, folks. This really is. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And we're going to pray in just a moment. I want us just to, closing our eyes isn't extra spiritual. It's just, let's focus here. Let's have no distractions. And Christian people, if you can just pray right now. Maybe there's some of you here today who you want to step across that line of faith. And as Pastor Joel asked the question in the baptismal tank, have you accepted Christ Jesus as the forgiver of your sin, which is the barrier between us and God that we all have? Have you accepted Christ as the forgiver of your sin and the leader of your life? Is he Savior and Lord? I'd love to pray with you. And it's not what I pray, it's the expression of your own heart before God this morning that is the most important. But if you would just as an outward symbol of what's going on inside your heart this morning, would just look my way and raise your hand if you want to accept Christ this morning. I'd be so honored and excited to pray for you as you express that prayer to God for him to come into your life as forgiver and leader. Is there anybody in this moment that would want to make that awesome step and commitment to Christ? Just look my way and raise your hand quickly. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. And most of us in this room are able to just from our hearts say, thank you, Jesus, so much for dying for us. You loved us so much. You came. And you took upon yourself the punishment for sin that belonged to us so we could go free eternally. Thank you, God, for that gift of salvation. And Heavenly Father, we pause in this moment to ponder this scripture that we have talked about this morning, portions of it anyway. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would lead us personally and direct us, help us to make some readjustments if that's necessary as your Holy Spirit leads us in response to your word today. And we know that the work of God in this world will be advanced because of that. We pause in a moment, in this moment of solitude and silence, to allow your Holy Spirit to put a thought, an action step in our mind, in our heart, that might be something that you want to lead us in. God, help us to be open. God, thank you so much for this time together. It's been good. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So good to be together. Thank you for taking time to be here today. And don't rush away. Thank you, ladies, for preparing coffee and tea and refreshments for us to enjoy as we interact with one another. So find somebody that you've never met before and standing on the edge now, looking to a new place, going deeper still. The feeling is electric.